On this vote, the yeas are 51, the noes are 49. The motion is agreed to.
That's from this morning. The Senate voted to advance the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh after an FBI investigation over the past week that examined sexual misconduct accusations against him dating back to when he was in high school and college. Voting no to advance his nomination, Alaska Republican Lisa Murkowski. Voting yes to advance the nomination, Arizona Republican Jeff Flake, West Virginia Democrat Joe Manchin, and Maine Republican Susan Collins.
And those, Jeremy, are expected to be the swing voters, those who, you know, hadn't made up their minds. But Collins says that she will announce her final vote at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So she could still vote no on final confirmation in that vote expected as early as tomorrow. In fact, anyone can change their vote tomorrow. Today's vote was to end the debate and advance it to the final vote. So nothing going on this Friday. Lots to talk about. Let's bring in our politics roundtable. This week, Jesse Holland. He covers race and ethnicity for the Associated Press. Hi, Jesse.
How you doing?
And Rick Klein, ABC News political director. And by the way, Jesse, I'm fine. Hi, Rick.
Hi, great to be with you.
Look, Lisa Murkowski has just been talking to reporters, saying the hardest decision she's had to make was this one, but saying Kavanaugh is not the right man for this time. Jeff Flake told reporters that unless something changes, he will remain a yes. So, Rick, do the math. The vote today, 51-49, to move forward to tomorrow. But if one person switches to no, that's a tie. The Vice President Pence will decide it. What happens if two switch? Three.
If two go down, two switch or three, then this nomination goes down and is held up indefinitely and will have to be pulled. So right now, it really all comes down to Susan Collins and Joe Manchin. Did their votes today mean that they're poised to vote for Brett Kavanaugh on the floor of the Senate? If so, then he will be a Supreme Court justice within 30 hours or so. If not, then the Republicans will have to regroup. So they will be a waiting game just on these two, because that's the narrow math in this extraordinarily partisan environment. Mm.
Jesse, where is the pressure greater, from the right pushing these senators, especially the Republican senators, to vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh, or from the left, people that are very angry at what they see as an incomplete FBI investigation and an angry testimony from him, and perhaps that he doesn't have the right temperament to be a Supreme Court justice?
Well, for Collins and Manchin, it's a no-win situation for either one of them. If Collins votes no on Kavanaugh, she can expect a primary on her right. If she votes yes on Kavanaugh, she can expect a primary on her left in Maine, which is a very independent state. And the same with Joe Manchin. If he votes yes and votes to confirm Kavanaugh, he's going to see a runoff on his left. And if he votes no on Kavanaugh, well, the Republicans were going to run against him anyway. So he has a little easier choice. But once again, his state was heavily won by Donald Trump. So both of those senators are going to face pressure from both sides, and their next campaign will be key on what they vote now.
I don't mean to sound naive here, but is that what this is all about? Are all of these senators thinking primarily just about whether they can be reelected and not about what's going to be on the Supreme Court for the next few decades?
That is so naive, Jeremy.
So, right?
Well, I mean, when you deal with politicians, they believe me, their political future always weighs heavily on their minds. I'm not going to say it's the only thing they think about, but it weighs heavily on their minds. And of course, you do have the situation of what we've seen over the last and heard over the last 2 weeks. They could literally want to the best for the Supreme Court and the country, and they may be voting their conscience. But once again, they're politicians. Their political future is always on their minds.
Yeah, but I was going to say we saw Heidi Heitkamp.
Yeah. I think that was a really interesting point, as the point I was going to make. Jesse's not wrong, but I think Heidi Heitkamp saying, look, if I was making a political decision, I would vote for this guy, but I can't look myself in the mirror and know that I put him on the Supreme Court. I'd like to think, and I do believe, that this is a larger moment for the individual senators who are making up their mind, because it is a larger moment, a vastly larger moment for the country.
Yeah, well, and let's talk about that just briefly. Jesse, start with you. What happened here? Because the end of last week, you saw this huge amount of support for a woman going, saying she was terrified and yet going to testify because she felt it was a civic right. And then something seems to have shifted. We are going to be speaking to a woman on the program who is a Republican who's backing Kavanaugh because she just doesn't believe someone like him could do something like this. Or even the broader things that he's being accused of, the drinking. What happened here over the course of the past week?
Well, I think a lot of people look at that that second hearing where Judge Kavanaugh came in and, as retired Justice John Paul Stephen put it, really went off script of what a Supreme Court nominee was supposed to do in front of the Senate. So that really shifted the minds of a lot of people on the left. But on the right, they saw a man who's willing to defend himself, who was passionate about protecting his quote-unquote honor against these, what he called, unsubstantiated allegations. And so that was the same type of play that we saw President Trump use during the election. Be out there, be strenuous, talk strong, be mad about what's going on. And it seems to have re-energized his supporters on the right that he was willing to actually go out there and stand up for himself rather than be passive.
Rick, your thoughts? Because polls seem to show that, in fact, this has re-energized the Republican base, in particular Republican women.
Oh, there's no question. But I think the key thing here is that what works in the House is not necessarily work in the Senate. Works in red places and blue places. There are going to be differing impacts on this. And I actually think this is one of those cases where the loser wins politically, in the sense that anger is the fuel of 2018. And it's a lot easier to be angrier about not getting your way, about being blocked from your way. So if Democrats fall short in blocking Justice Kavanaugh, I do think that you're going to see a surge in Democratic enthusiasm. If, on the other hand, Republicans fall short, you're going to see a whole lot of angry Republican voters getting off the sidelines before the midterms. It could be one of those weird situations where what works for the battle doesn't necessarily work for the war.
I just want to read something that has come in. Lisa Murkowski has been speaking with reporters and says, "This has truly been the most difficult decision that I've ever had to make. I believe he, Brett Kavanaugh, is a good man. It just may be that, in my view, he's not the best man for the court at this time." Rick, that sounds like she's going to vote against him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's clear that Lisa Murkowski is a no on this. She voted no on the cloture question. But that's a fascinating answer if you think about it, because I think it does recognize the broader stakes, that this is not about, is this guy qualified to be on the court? Who do you believe? It's about the moment in this country, this extraordinary outpouring that we've seen over the last 3 weeks since Christine Blasey Ford came forward, and the last year of the Me Too movement. I feel like it's all been wrapped up in this moment, a national conversation that's very real for the senators whose votes make a difference.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about Justice Stevens, as you were. 98 years old, he comes out last night to say that he had been very much in favor of Kavanaugh. But you can have a sitting Supreme Court justice who says things in his testimony like, "What goes around comes around." That was kind of a threat from Kavanaugh, meaning what? Who knows? But what does this mean, Jesse, for the court, that you might have a Supreme Court justice? He's since apologized. He wrote that extraordinary Wall Street Journal op-ed saying, you know, maybe I was a little over the top. But what does this mean for the court when you have a former Supreme Court justice saying this person doesn't belong on a court?
Well, if I were on the Republican side today and I was a Republican politician, I would be really worried right now, because you have a former Supreme Court Justice, John Paul Stevens, saying publicly, "I was for this guy, but after I heard him speak, I'm now against this guy." And that I have Susan Collins, who you would assume would be a yes, since she's already voted yes for cloture, saying, "I have an announcement I have to make later today." This is all should be really concerning to Judge Kavanaugh's supporters. And even if he gets on the court, I mean, I've been watching the court for about 10 years now. Even if he gets on the court, he's going on the court with a retired justice saying he shouldn't be there. I don't think I've ever seen that happen to anyone. Even if he gets on the court, he's starting a bit tainted.
Yeah.
Rick, if Kavanaugh is confirmed, how energized do you think Democrats will be in the midterms? How energized will Republicans be?
The key thing for me to remember and remind people of is that Democrats were already energized. You can't lose suburban moms twice. That's the Republican argument that says this is going to be a net positive for them. Republicans have been reminded of why they're Republicans at all. This has been a moment to unify the the Never Trumpers and the MAGA folks. Everyone seems to be together on the case of Brett Kavanaugh, Lisa Murkowski's vote notwithstanding. So I do think Republicans are looking at this as a net positive. I'd also say there are 4 weeks to go. We've spent the last three of them talking about Judge Kavanaugh. If the next four are consumed by other things, wild, wacky things, because it's politics in 2018, that would not at all surprise me. And I don't know how many voters ultimately are going to make up their decision purely on this fight that happened and happened to consume the better part of a month here in the fall.
Well, somebody mentioned this morning on Morning Edition that, in fact, remember just a few weeks ago, somebody wrote an anonymous letter from the Trump administration saying that they were riding herd on him, and that, you know, there was that moment which has passed. And then you get today the Labor Department news, the unemployment rate falling to 3.7%, the lowest level since December 1969. I mean, getting a job, Jesse, just briefly, that is, the Republicans are going to ride on that, and they should.
And in a normal election year, you would hear everyone in every Republican in the House and the Senate and the White House crowing today about what the historic unemployment numbers that we see. But what are we talking about? We're talking about Judge Kavanaugh.
Right. Yeah.
So that just shows how weird this year has been and how strange these next 4 weeks could be.
Well, and the next 24 hours. We really don't know what is going to happen, and we'll be watching all of it. Jesse Holland and Rick Klein, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.